Prospecting, Part 2. Get published. While researched and professionally written newsletters and articles focus on solving complex business problems, a newsletter presents a problem in all its glory and then presents a solution as provided by you. Offering free information or research reports can be a powerful way to generate leads, particularly for an emerging or tricky problems that people might not yet realize they need to worry about. Why do it? Authoring articles and reports helps build your credibility as an expert and engages your audience. Articles encourage readers to make contact so you can engage in deep-level conversation to them about the subject. Responses to your content or requests for further information enable you to identify potential prospects simply by virtue of their interest in the topic. Where to start? If you were going to do an article or a free report, it's worth doing properly. Poor quality content is worse than no content. The best topic to choose is one where you have lots of credibility and client success stories. Choose your title carefully so it attracts interest and outlines the problem. Spend time on the title and choose words to capture people's imagination. Perhaps test a few on existing clients. Take some time to write your draft content or outline. Make arguments clear, compelling and engaging. Find a designer to make the layout clean, professional and attractive. Finally, get a professional proofreader to do the final check of the document. Basic spelling errors can negate all the efforts you put in, so don't skimp on this stage. There are several options for publishing your article or free report. Add it to your website, set it up as a separate sales page. Make it a downloadable PDF, or offer to send a printed version in the post. Publish it on as many sites as you can. Add everyone you ever meet to your subscription list once you have their permission. Statistics about customer referral programs. 65% of new business comes from referrals. New York Times. 92% of respondents trusted referrals from people they knew. Nielsen. People are four times more likely to buy when referred by a friend. Nielsen. Non-cash incentives are 24% more effective at boosting performance than cash incentives. University of Chicago. Offering a reward increases the referral likelihood, but the size of the reward does not matter. American Marketing Association. The lifetime value of a new referral customer is 16% higher. Waddell School of Business. 83% of consumers are willing to refer after a positive experience, yet only 29% actually do. Texas Tech. Companies with referral programs, 69% report faster time to close, 59% report higher lifetime value, 71% report higher conversion rates. Despite these stats, only 1 in 3 B2B organizations surveyed have a formalized referral program, and less than a quarter of the programs managed by the marketing team or supported by referral software. Know the facts. 70% of people purchase to solve a problem. 30% purchase to gain something. What's your referral strategy? To achieve your sales targets, you will need to plan your week around prospecting activities. Listed below are some of the key activities that will generate referrals and you need to achieve this. Review your sales goal to see how many referrals you need to generate each week. Business referral groups. Meetings with your spheres of influence. Weekly meetings with centers of influence. Regular contact with existing client base. Top 10 from suspect list center network center of influence each week. Give away a referral every day to someone in your network. Attending networking events, field days, industry days. Block these activities into your diary and start today. What do you do when you receive a referral? Thank the referrer immediately. Contact the referrer within 24 hours. Feedback the referrer what happened and thank them again. Give them a referral. Hierarchy of leads and referrals. There's a strict hierarchy in terms of the value of leads and referrals. This hierarchy correlates directly with the likelihood of closing the sale. The percentages are indicative, as every salesperson has a sales solution that is a sales solution is different. Center of influence, positioned referral, 60-80%. Client referrals, where they have contacted the referral, 50% plus. Inquiries from marketing and advertising, walk-ins, 20%. Use my name referral, 10-20%. Cold calling, percentage by study, 1%. Client referrals. Below are some key concepts to be aware of with regards to client referrals. You can't rely on clients to give you referrals. You have to ask. Be specific about who you ask for. The old "who do you know" won't help you to get referrals. You need to get them to focus on specific individuals or businesses. Good morning. Thank you for your time yesterday. I will follow up on ... I am aware that you work with XYZ company, and I was wondering if you would be comfortable to refer me to them, as I know you work very closely with them and they are a company I am most interested in helping. Please let me know if you feel comfortable to do this. Warm regards. Research your client's websites. Research their website and marketing material to discover who they work with and use this information to gain specific referrals. Clients often mention friends and companies they work with. The best time to ask for a referral is when you've earned it. Clients may not know how to refer you and may say, give ... a ring and use my name. We consider this in the hierarchy of referrals to be a one-off cold call. It is our job to educate them on how to position us. Salesperson, Jeremy, I know you work closely with XYZ company. I was wondering if you'd be comfortable to refer me to them. Client, would be more than happy to give Rick a ring and use my name. Salesperson, thank you very much. Would you be happy to email him and let him know I will be calling? Send an email to remind the client to follow up on the promised referral, something along the lines of, good morning. It was great to catch up with you the other day, ... Thanks for your referral to Bill Smith. Would you be kind enough to let him know once you let me know once you have phoned, emailed Bill so that I can give him a call. Look forward to hearing from you. Send a thank you note or ring your referral to let them know how you got on. The answer is no. I once saw a poster hanging on a refrigerator in a friend's house that said, if you don't ask, the answer is no. That started me thinking about how many times in my own life I didn't ask the question for fear of being turned down in the answer, or I didn't ask the question for fear of looking stupid. Unfortunately, I will never know some of these answers, and maybe some would have been yes answers, but since I didn't ask, the answer remains no. Think about the questions you are hesitating to ask for fear of a no answer. You might as well ask, or the answer will be no. Two types of phone inquiries. There are two types of calls you get. The first is where you can convert the call into a sale there and then. These are generally relate to commodity products such and service type sales. These types of sales could generally start with the buyer asking something like, could you give me an idea of a price of ... or can you send me some information on ... The second category will probably start with the same inquiry but will involve a bigger ticket item. With this type of inquiry, it is essential we convert the inquiry into a face-to-face appointment with either yourself or a salesperson. The only sale here is the appointment. Give information sparingly. Ask key questions to demonstrate complexity of product service. Give benefit of getting together. Set appointment date and get their contact information. Common sales prospecting call mistakes. The key is to call only referred leads. Opening the call with "how are you today?" This smacks of telemarketing, and bad telemarketing at that. It is not a question you ask a stranger unless you want to put them on the defensive immediately. Since you haven't scheduled a call, assume you're being interruptive and get to the point quickly. Only sell the appointment. Asking, "are you busy?" Of course they are. Everybody's busy. Your prospect will say yes, and you'll immediately feel pressure to cut your call short. Instead, say, "I know you're busy, so I'll get right to the reason I'm calling." Assuming the prospect is a match for your business and you're a match for their solution. Use phraseology like, we can help businesses like yours. We'll put prospects off. Thinking you can wing it. Have a clear goal in mind for the call and your likely path to get there. Think through your calls and potential outcomes before you pick up the phone. Do your homework and sell only the appointment. Reading from a script. It's okay to write out your phone guide, but then you need to own it through constant practice and real-life application. If you rely too much on your guide, you'll have no flexibility. You have to strike a balance between ad-libbing and sounded scripting. Rely on a template for a general call framework that contains customizable areas per prospect instead of reading a speech. Talking too fast. Slow down. Talking too fast can make you appear nervous or lacking in confidence. When leaving a phone number on a voicemail, take your time and leave the number twice, slowly, so the prospect can write it down. Always say you will call them back. Going on an appointment without confirming it a few days in advance. Consider emailing to confirm an appointment. Expecting time for calling prospect to magically appear on your calendar. Prospecting is one of those sales activities that's easy to brush off because its impact isn't immediate. By the time you notice your empty pipeline due to lack of prospecting, it will be too late. Block off enough time each week for prospecting calls. Treat the appointment with yourself like a client appointment. Don't move it. A good time to call is between appointments when you are out and about, not knowing anything about your buyer before picking up the phone. Obviously, you won't know everything about your prospect's problems before you get on a call. That's the point of having a connect call. In fact, you should never enter a prospecting call assuming you know everything about your prospect. You should actively work to discover new information. However, you should never make a prospecting call completely blind. You'll only get your prospect to open up if you're able to ask thoughtful questions, and that means doing some research. Not asking for the next step. Every touch point in the sales process should build upon itself and set the stage for your next interaction. Never close a prospecting call without asking for something from your prospect. Define a next step and then ask them for it before getting off the phone. In summary, be thoughtful, prepared, and systematic with your prospecting calls. Don't think through your process and the words you plan to use. The work you do is too important not to put your best foot forward from the very beginning. Prospect inquiry form. Use this form when you receive an inbound lead from a prospect. Business name, contact name, phone numbers, business description, address, physical address, postal, email address, web address, referral source, existing provider, reason for inquiry, action date, action comments, diary date. How to handle requests for information. Request for information. What specific information do you need? When will you need this by? What will happen once you have the information? What will be the next step? When should I call you to discuss what happens next? Can I make an appointment to come and answer any questions you may have? Key questions if you call. Can I make an appointment to come and introduce myself? Handling phone price inquiries. All too often, prospects ring to get a price on your product or service. Once we give it to them, they will generally tell us, I'll think it over and come back to us. The only goal is to convert the price, our only goal is to convert price inquiries to a face-to-face appointment. Example of a phone inquiry. Prospect, good morning, I'm interested in your ... How much is it? You. Before I can answer that, I need to understand exactly what you're looking for. Can I ask a couple of quick questions? Prospect. Okay. You. Question one. Prospect. ... You. Question two. ... Prospect. ... You. Question three. ... Prospect. ... You. The best thing I can suggest is we make an appointment to come see if we can help you and go from there. How would ... on ... day suit you? Would ... time or ... time suit you? Great, I'll see you on .day at .AMPM at your office home. How to optimize voicemail. Many salespeople miss out on the important step of leaving voicemails. Even though prospects may not ring you back, they will listen to their voicemails. Your only goal is to sell the appointment. Guidelines for optimizing voicemail. 1. Always leave a message on the first call to a new prospect. If it is your mobile number, they will see your number. 2. You have a maximum of 30 seconds to make a great first impression. Don't ramble, be concise. Make sure every word counts. This is their first contact with you. 3. Use a script and practice. 4. It's not about you. 5. Stay in control. Tell them you'll call back if possible at a specific time and day. 6. Always mention who referred you, as this establishes credibility and context of your call. 7. Use gap time for making calls. Gap time is times when you're out and about and there's nothing else you can be doing, e.g. you may be early to an appointment or have an appointment cancelled. Always carry your call log, whether electronic or paper, with you. This is your diary and you can make appointments anywhere, anytime, anywhere. 8. Call at different times of the day and week. 9. Do your homework before you pick up the phone. Be prepared. Voice message to a referred lead. Always leave a message if you get a voicemail or a receptionist on the first call to a new prospect. This reminds the prospect of the referral and the comments they made when positioning you. It also establishes the reason for your next call to make an appointment. Voice message. Good morning, .. It's .. from .. Referral's name .. suggested I give you a call. The reason for my call was to set an appointment to come and introduce myself to you and our company. You are obviously busy. I will ring .. or .. I have a great day. You can leave your number if it's a business line, or they will see if it is a cell phone. The key is you stay in control by telling them when you will ring them. I generally ring two to three more times before I leave another message. Key is persistence. The key is persistence. A survey of CEOs from Fortune 500 companies asks this question. What is the most effective way for us to earn your business? The number one response, be persistent. Constant exposure to dangers breeds contempt for them. Marcus Aurelius. Stay in sales long enough and you will get results. Keep going and the fear goes away. In other words, be persistent. A participant in a course in calligraphy resuscitation asked, how long do we continue to perform CPR on an unconscious person? This question has three simple answers. Until the person regains consciousness, until the medical professionals arrive, until rigor mortis sets in. In sales, we call this level of persistence the CPR rule. Simply put, the CPR rule says that salespersons should continue to make contacts until their prospective client changes their telephone number and or begs to be left alone. Look at the statistics that Halbert Drew, a marketing specialist at Notre Dame, found about the value of persistence in sales. 60% of sales come from after 4 or more sales. 44% of salespeople quit after the first call. 24% quit after the second call. 14% quit after the third call. 12% quit trying to sell their prospect after the fourth call. Only 6% of sales happen after the fourth call. 82% of the salesmen are chasing 40% of all the leads. This leaves 60% of the leads to the top 18% of the salespeople. Shocking stats about follow-up. Follow-up or die. It may sound a bit extreme, but the reason most sales are lost is through lack of follow-up on the part of the salesperson. The truth is that most buyers are busy and don't have time to chase you up after a sales call. If you want the sale, you need to develop a system to follow up prospects in a timely manner. There is a plethora of statistics on sales. Here are a couple that might shock you. Only 2% of sales are made at the first meeting. This means following up There are often multiple parties involved in a buying decision, and timing always plays a part. The 2% that are made on the first meeting are often buyers who are well researched, know exactly what they are looking for, and are the decision maker. The other 98%, they need to develop trust with the salesperson, do their research, and there may be other decision makers in the mix. This can often involve multiple meetings. Only 20% of sales leads are followed up. 80% of leads are lost due lack of follow-up. This seems shocking, but many salespeople get bogged down in what they're doing and lack a system to keep on top of the referrals they receive. Treat every referral or lead as a potential sale. This is especially true when receiving a referral from a colleague. If there is no follow-up from your end, it makes your colleague and yourself look bad and unorganized. 30 to 50% of sales go to the vendor who responds first. This is pretty self-explanatory, so be on the ball. You can follow up within 5 minutes of an inquiry, even if it's only asking for more information to set up an appointment. You are 9 times more likely to convert. In a larger business, 50 to 100 employees on average, if 7 people are involved in the buying decision. For this reason alone, we must follow up. With so many decision makers in the mix, it will be the rare occasion that we can close on the day. 80% of non-routine sales occur after at least 5 follow-ups. Non-routine sales means referrals. This means the sales where the seller does not know there is an issue until after the sales interview has taken place. A non-routine sales can mean a buyer doesn't know needs replacing, or consultancy service they did not know could improve their productivity. As we often say, don't let them off the hook until they were dead. Of course, when they say they're absolutely not interested. It's about timing and staying in front of mind. 63% of people requesting information today will not purchase for at least 3 months. 20% will take more than 12 months to buy. For this reason alone, we must stay in front of mind with our prospects. If they say no, the timing isn't right, ask them when the timing will be right. When can we follow up again? Easy ways to stay in touch are highlighted later in the manual in the client management section, but email and newsletters are our favourite and cost-effective method of keeping front of mind. Remember, at the very least, sell them on the newsletter. It's cheapest and easiest form of marketing. And on that, email newsletters have a 2% higher return on investment than cold calling, networking, and trade shows. So remember, follow up or die. The key to restarting stalled prospects. The following email templates are designed to specifically combat stalled prospects, that is, prospects who have gone cold and no longer responsive. These serve two purposes. It gets the prospect out of your pipeline and clears up time and brain space for better fit leads. 2, it can serve as a panter interruption to get a slow-moving prospect to take action. Buyers are used to the persistent salesman and are often surprised to hear a salesman say, "I don't need this deal." It is important not to come across as bullying your prospect into action. Think of these emails as providing information or asking for clarification. In a tone that can vary based on your rapport with the prospect, formal or casual, funny or serious. Do what feels right to you and always respect your prospect's decision. The polite ask, "Good morning, afternoon, ... We are always working on ways to improve conversations with prospective clients like you, and prospective clients like you are central to the success of our business. I recently spoke to you about our service, and at the time it seemed as if there was a fit with your needs. Since then, however, my attempts to contact you have failed. No matter the reason for the halt in communication, I hope that you would feel comfortable telling me if we're not a fit. Would you let me know if there's still an opportunity that you are interested in pursuing? If not, I completely understand and I wish you all the best. Kind regards." The cordial inform. "Good morning, afternoon. We are working very hard to improve our value and our discussions with our prospective clients like you and they are essential to the success of our business. You and I spoke recently about our product, service, and at the time it seemed as if it was a fit with your needs. Since then, however, my attempts to reach you have failed. No matter the reason for the halt in communication, I hope that you feel comfortable telling me if we're not a fit. If I don't hear back from you by the end of the day Friday, I assume you would like me to close the file on this opportunity for you now. If that is the case, I understand completely and hope I may be of service to you in the future. Kind regards. The blunt inform. Good morning, afternoon, pleasantries. Since I haven't heard back from you in a few weeks, I am guessing this is no longer a priority for you. Rather than waste your time, I'll leave it to you to contact me should you have a need in the future to improve the amount of sales you convert. Feel free to call me if you're still interested in our service at a later date. Kind regards. The polite and casual. Good morning, afternoon. I've tried to contact you a few times over the past but haven't been able to get a hold of you. I know this is a busy time of year for you and might not be the best time to connect, so I don't want to bother you if there is no fit. If you change your mind, feel free to get back in touch, then we can arrange time to meet. Kind regards. Follow-up calls and emails. If you've already started a sales process, there may be many scenarios that could warrant a follow-up email. Usually, however, these scenarios have two things in common. Your prospect has made the commitment to do something and hasn't done it or has gone dark. An email or call following up any of these situations should presumably be focused on the missed commitment. It's not your generic check-in. Any or all of the following situations all but necessitate a follow-up call or email. If they told you to follow them up in X days, weeks, months. If they went dark after a call. If they didn't show up to a scheduled call. If they told you they needed a few days to make an internal evaluation, then went dark. If they committed to signing a contract and didn't. If they started a product trial but you haven't heard back on their progress. If you lost the deal. Check how things are going after a month after implementing a competitor's product. Check out how things are going as their contact with a competitor is winding down. Dead horse email. Bring up a common challenge your buyers face and ask if they're experiencing it. Ask if they're interested in achieving X goal and provide a suggestion of how to get there. Send up a breakup email to close the loop. Communication exercise. The meaning behind the words. You'll be aware that you're a person. Be aware that you're a person with your own individual way of interpreting things. This is not necessarily a match. This will not necessarily match the interpretation of the prospect, and will put on the same thing. For example, the way that someone says something can greatly affect the interpretation that's put on it, and the way you hear something may not necessarily match the way the person saying the words means them. So it is important to look at all your factors that contribute to the message that the candidate is trying to send to you. Exercise. Read the following sentence and then repeat it again several times out loud. Each time you repeat it, place the vocal emphasis on a different word. I didn't say he stole the money. I didn't say he stole the money. How many different meanings have you managed to come up with? As you strengthen the vocal emphasis on different words, your body language probably instinctively changes to match your voice. The variation of meaning will be synchronized with your vocal and physical body language changes. Mirroring communication. Communication channel. The verbal. What they say, 7%. What you can match. Specific language patterns, e.g. ridges. Beliefs, values, humor, common interests. Communication channel, the voice. How they say what they say, 38%. What you can match, tonality, rhythm, speed, volume. Communication channel, the visual, body language, 55%. What you can match, posture, gestures, breathing, energy level, facial expressions. Prospecting, end of part 2.